This is Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. Carissa, you know, one of the most unforgettable trips I've ever taken was to Sydney, Australia with some girlfriends. I was just talking about it with you. I remember we stayed at kind of like the Sydney Harbor area. It was such great walking around. Everybody was so nice. Everybody was so welcoming. We took an amazing, amazing boat ride that lasted a couple hours. I wanted to spend like the whole night there. But yeah, that was such a great time. I think that needs to be one of our next stops. I'm excited to talk about that with our crew.
Oh yeah, this has been on my bucket list for I don't know how long. So you guys, like Erin and I, let's start planning a memorable vacation. Just go to australia.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, welcome back. And joining us now is Wayne Morrow. He is the CEO of the John Birch Society. And he's got something I think is very interesting to talk about, and that is Fabian socialism. You probably heard this term before, but maybe you don't understand what it is or the difference between it and the Marx and Karl Marx's approach and how much more dangerous it is. You know, for me growing up, Fabian was a teen idol. And I saw Fabian socialism. I was like, you know, what is that? You know, but actually, it's a famous Roman general, and Fabian's parents were Italian, and I guess maybe that was the namesake, or they might have been socialist. I don't know, but anyway, it is important to understand the distinction because they have very different tactics that they use to achieve the same totalitarian goal. So joining us now is Wayne Morrow, CEO of the John Birch Society. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you, David. Appreciate being here. And it's Fabian's, much like the Council on Foreign Relations, very little known about people in their respective countries. It's sort of that secretive behind-the-scenes group. You know, that's part of the plan, you know?
And you mentioned, you told me just as we were talking here, just before you came on, how you there is also a book that the John Birch Society sells called The Fabian Freeway.
Yes, exactly.
A very in-depth book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a book we've written past and we republished it. Mm-hmm. We have our own publishing company called The Western Islands. Mm-hmm. And The Fabian Freeway is a book about the genesis of the Fabians and how it impacted our U.S. policies and our foreign policies. It all ties together. But it's a real good book, and it's over about 600 pages, so it's not a quick read, but it's in depth, and I think it's for people who are serious students about history and what goes on today. Certainly, I call it, we're the top of the puzzle box, you know. Now we understand what goes on.
That's right. That's right. But tell us a bit about us about Fabian socialism. You know, what was it about that general that they liked, and how does that tell us about their tactics, and how is it different from Marxism?
Well, that's a good question. Well, anyway, the genesis is, as you mentioned, Quintus Fabius Maximus. He was a Roman general, very slow moving. He was very, you know, quiet, but he was slow and forceful. Mm-hmm. And much like the Fabians took his name because that's the process they want. You know, their moniker originally was Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, and that didn't work over too well. Figure that one out for a while. And they said, now we'll switch to a turtle. Right?
I think the Republicans and Democrats could use that imagery as well. Yeah, instead of a donkey and an elephant, they could have a wolf and a sheep clothing for both of them. Yeah.
They had to change their moniker because it wasn't going over well. But, you know, if you go back to the genesis of it all, Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner were involved in forming this elite group. And George Bernard Shaw was certainly one of the members and the Webb, Sidney Webb and all. And, you know, they were very open about socialism. And, you know, the dispute they had between Marx and themselves was they wanted to believe in the more the ethical, slow-moving educational route versus violence. And so that was their goal. So, you know, they formed, you know, the London School of Economics. And out of that school, you know, they put in place various key legislators in government and even in institutions around the UK. And they knew that by influencing public policy, it didn't make any difference who was the elected official, because they were setting the policy. And they do that today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And so George Bernard Shaw was also very large on eugenics. Matter of fact, I don't have that video clip, but if you could listen to their audio clip, he talks about once every 5 years, listen to this one, we'd have to stand in front of this board to determine if we should be worthy of staying alive or not. I mean, he actually said that, you know. So he's going to go, imagine that.
Just destroyed my appreciation of My Fair Lady, right?
Can you imagine? So, and yeah. You can listen to it. No, don't believe me. You can look him up. You can listen to the video, audio clip. It's amazing. And, you know, and so every prime minister, every Labour Party member of the UK is a Fabian. And so the Fabian's goal is always has been, as we call it, socialism. It's a slow walk to Marxism.
Yeah.
And what they want to do is govern every aspect of your life and force globalism. So as you see now today with Keir Starmer, who, by the way, is a Fabian, as well as the mayor of London, mm-hmm. you're watching it happen, the country being destroyed. And I have podcasts with folks in London, and I tell them, this is all to cue. This is exactly what the plan is, to destroy their heritage, their history, to bring in, usher in world government.
Now, when
that's
you say
exactly what it's all about, yes.
Yes. When you say they're Fabians, is there still an organization that they belong as an active member, like somebody would belong to the John Birch Society? So they actually
absolutely right.
So have the Fabian Society there? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Tony Blair is a member of the Fabians. You know,
card carrying member. Yeah.
He's very active with it, by the way. You know, yeah. with the World Economic Forum.
Interesting.
But
yeah.
if you go online, you can look up the Fabian Society. They have organization in Australia. They're young Fabians, you know, but they exist. I mean, they exist today. And when I speak to the British, very few really understand the Fabians.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Truss, I met Liz Truss, a past prime minister. I was at a CEO conference, and I gave her my card, and I said, I'll send you a copy of the Fabian Freeway. Now she's actively doing YouTube phenomena. Now, because I said, you never mentioned the Fabians, Liz. But, you know, I think she knew exactly what they were. But the whole thing was, David, back in Woodrow Wilson's days, when he actually worked with Colonel Mandel House, another globalist, they formed this thing called the Inquiry. And the Inquiry was a group of men, we're British and U.S., and they disguised how are we going to work together and kind of really conquer the world as far as the political agenda, and then eventually total. And so that was the genesis of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Mm.
So the Council on Foreign Relations, which is housed in New York City, they and the Fabians worked together, as we speak today,
mm-hmm.
in setting governance and policy. Mm-hmm. And they do that. Regardless what the elections look like, they're yeah. behind the scenes doing foreign policy.
That's right.
And that's why we always look at each other. Why doesn't everything change? Well, that's because behind the scenes, the same folks have been working the agenda. That's what's going on. And we have to bring the light to the UK people, as well as the United States, that these groups are hard at work directing our foreign policy, but our future. It mm-hmm. is for world government. It's mm-hmm. nothing to do with freedom.
Oh, great.
And our job in the Birch Society is through education to make people aware of who they are so we know what to do. It's not mystical. It's not magical. It's not a beauty contest when you elect somebody. But we have to know the threats are real, and we see it today.
Yes. It sounds very much like Antonio Gramsci, the father of the Italian Communist Party's strategy, where mm-hmm. he wanted to march through the institutions. How is it different than Gramsci's communism? Because, and I mentioned Antonio Gramsci because Pete Buttigieg is what I call him, because he's very proud of that. But, you know, his father spent his entire career at Notre Dame. That was really his specialty, Antonio Gramsci. And he had him go to Harvard, where he studied under Sacvan Berkovich, who was also very much a fan of Italian communism.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Changed his name to honor Sacco and Vanzetti. And I learned something about Antonio Gramsci because of Booty Gay, but I also called him Booty Marx because that's really where they're trying to take us. But again, it is a slow march through the institutions. And so what is the difference? Is it that one of them was Italian and the other one was predominantly English and American, kind of Anglo?
Yeah, well, Gramsci was involved as an Italian. He was from Sardinia. And grew up in that area of farm. He watched the farmer owners take advantage of the farmer workers. He actually has a book called the Gramsci Papers, Prison Papers. Mm-hmm. And that's about this thing I have behind me in my library. And it was written on toilet paper, by the way. And he passed it to
well, you knew what it was
sister.
Worth.
He passed it to his sister, and it became the Gramsci the Prison Papers. And Gramsci was, a threat to, the Nazis in Germany, and that's why it was called the Frankfurt School, and Hitler tossed them out of the United States. They ended up in Columbia University. and so the goal then was then to indoctrinate and reduce the morality of young college students and shove down their throats socialism and communism. So now we have the professors from various institutions in the country. Remember that then the 60s, about the hippie movement, all that was all coming from the Frankfurt School through Columbia University. Destroying, they knew they have, this is what Gramsci said, David, we can't destroy the United States or Western society as we talk to it economically. That's hard.
Yeah.
We have to change them morally. Because if we could do that, we could destroy the morality because that's the glue that holds them together. Then we can destroy them. And that's the whole story with the Frankfurt School, which ended up at Columbia University. If you think about it, where we are back in the 40s to where today, you could see the morality of the United States go in the other direction. And that's all according to plan.
And that's why they got so heavily involved in Hollywood and the entertainment business as well.
Absolutely correct. And that's what happened. So they knew that's exactly one of the key points that makes the United States and Western civilization so strong is our moral behavior. In our beliefs. That's what we see today. But that's the difference between the two. And so they're Marxists, but they use that social element. They said Karl Marx wasn't right. He thought economics was the only way. No, we're going to have to do the moral end of it. So they morphed it into another strategy. But it's all the same end goal as total slavery.
And you can see that very much in what Sokvan Berkovich focused on there at Harvard. Everything for him was a product of Puritanism. And so we've got to overthrow this whole, the Puritan roots of America, and we've got to attack it at its foundation. But what he was trying to do was to attack the moral foundation of the country. That's why he focused on that so much. But everything that he talked about was in terms of that. This is because of you know, the Mayflower, and we've got to get rid of that. But it is kind of interesting. And, of course, we see other approaches as well. You had people like Bill Ayers, okay? They decided that they would, they said, well, we've had class struggles over, you know, for Marxism in Europe. That's not going to work here. It's not working here that well. So let's go to a race struggle. So there's yet another approach that the communists have taken. They've got so many different prongs to get all of them take us to the same hell, don't they?
Yes.
a lot of different roads.
Yeah, we do the dirty work for them. We have, you know, class struggles, men against women. That's another mm-hmm. big one right mm-hmm. now. Children against their parents.
Yes.
Black versus white or tan. It's all about conflict and war. That's the, you know, that's their goal, because they need that to enforce more rules and regulations in the government and less freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can't play nice. Okay, mm-hmm. well, we're going to incite that. And the Marxists knew that's one of the goals. And it's well written over a period of time. Lots of documentation
mm-hmm.
on how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the goal. So they're playing to our frailties of humans. You know, rich versus poor, black versus white, tan versus white, Chinese, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Doesn't make a difference, because their end game is world government, and they know that they can't have a lot of us, so we have to exterminate some, so I'll let those guys exterminate themselves.
That's right.
And that's what we see, you know, and we're seeing that now in the UK as we start our conversation about the Fabians. As I talk to the folks in the UK, we're watching their country, and I used to live there and work there in Oxfordshire,
mm-hmm.
so I know the country rather well, and I'm watching those folks being destroyed by the invaders on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing the dirty work, destroying all their history and inflict terror and terror into those folks in Ireland as well as the UK, and they're concerned. But I'm seeing a resurgence of the British citizen rising up. It was about a month ago, you recall, in London, they had people marching with the British flag. It wasn't 200,000, David. We had people that were there, and they said it was more like 3 million people were there.
Mm.
And you'll see farmer trucks now marching into London with their tractors. And they don't want to be slaves. And I've talked to enough Europeans. They don't want to be part of the European EC any longer. They're losing their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
They love their history, David.
Mm-hmm.
And they really respect it. And when I travel throughout Europe, when I live there, they really love their history. And they love their heritage. It's being destroyed systematically. And it does not work. One thing I wanted to tell you, which is interesting, I found out talking to several of the folks within, you know, past legislators, they tell me, they get their news about the United States in two ways, CNN and the New York Times. What does that tell you, Dave?
Yeah, yeah.
They
need to get some different sources.
You're going to see CNN. I go, what is that doing in there? You know, I'm in Hungary or I'm in Italy. I'm watching CNN. But that's how they look at the United States. I said, well, that's totally upside down, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had a friend who worked in the Pentagon and about 20, 30 years ago. And when I talked to him, he said, yeah, CNN is playing on the screen all over the Pentagon, all the different rooms and everything. And that's
Communist News Network.
That's right. It's very important that who you listen to. And, you know, and I've always tried to listen to various sources. And I would go to I always preferred people who would tell me what they think and why they think it, rather than the people who try to be this mushy middle like Time and Newsweek, you know. So I was always looking at The Nation or National Review or something like that. Even though I don't support their views, I'd like to see that conflict that was there, because a lot of times that would help me to understand where I stood on the issue. So I try to get these people that are opposed to each other. But most people just go for something like Time or Newsweek or CNN, and it's kind of the mushy middle that's put out there by the Mockingbird programs that are out there for people. But that's why it's very important for people to educate themselves. And that's a very important thing that you do at the John Birch Society. Tell us a little bit about the John Birch Society and how it's organized at local
areas. We started in 1958, and our goal is education. You know, education is really critical for us, educating people about American values.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is limited government. Now, so people call us far right. That's not true. We're actually constitutional moderates, some form of government, but not total.
Mm-hmm.
All the left is all the isms, clearly fascism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to teach Americanism. It's not taught anymore. So we have free courses online, the jbs.org, about teaching about the Constitution. And we say, how do you elect constitutional minority representatives, state, local?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Or federal, if you don't know the playbook. So mm-hmm. how do you hold them accountable?
Yeah.
And it's not taught on purpose. So now it becomes a personality contest. We don't want that. So we teach people Americanism, and we give them the history, and we show them who's behind the curtain, like we mentioned the Fabians and the CFR, and who's forming foreign policy. And once people know what goes on, that's important. We call it a conspiracy. It's not a theory any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the conspiracy says this. The first goal is to deny its existence, of course.
Yes.
So we said, look, let's expose them. It's not us. That's why I have 1,000 books behind me. Is that over the course of time, it proves that they does exist, and they actually come out and talk about it. It's interesting, as we look through time and look through history, I always go back to my UK experience where Aldous Huxley was a Fabian. I go back to that for a second to mm-hmm. answer your question. And what happened is he was writing, this guy was a young author, writing all the information about what he heard. And he was so excited about it that he decided to write a book. And he said, I can't use my pen name. My name is Eric Blair. I can't use that. I have to use a pen name. So I'll think my name is George and Orwell. George Orwell is really the Eric Blair. And he wrote 1984 about the Fabians. So the question becomes, is why is it 1984? Well, January 4th of 1884 is the foundational of the Fabians. And they said, within 100 years, we have world government. That's why that book's titled 1984.
Oh, so interesting. That 1984, I'd heard people say because he wrote it in 1948, but it's the 100th anniversary.
The I don't believe it because he was indoctrinated by H.G. Wells mm-hmm. and Aldous Huxley about, when he writes about Big Brother, Newspeak, that's all about the Fabians.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now that's in vogue, I'm saying, hey, look, that wasn't done as a science fiction. That was really his telling you, and he couldn't, you know, hold himself. He said, I have to really talk about this. That's why I personally believe that's why it's 1984. It's 100 years of existence. And, of course, I mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations is a child of the Fabians, and now we have an American version, and we have, you know, the European version. Work in unison. So our job at the Birch Society is educate people what's going on, to be personally responsible, to elect constitutional moderates and constitution-minded representatives, state, local, and federal, so we can monitor not only our behavior, but go back to constitutional-based law and not rule by elitists. And that's what we see today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, and it's important for people to understand how many different ways they come at us in order to set up a totalitarian government. They have so many different tactics and strategies. And, of course, one of those, I think, that you're talking about, Aldous Huxley and others like that, H.G. Wells and Huxley, the technocracy that was there. I mean, talk a little bit about technocracy as well. That's really kind of coming to us. People don't really know where to fit that, you know, because it doesn't really fit into the left-right paradigm. And yet that seems to be on the ascendancy as well. Talk about a little bit about that.
Well, you know the story about technology. You know, my ex, I have a fellow who used to be a member of the Birth Society, was at the CIA. He said, smile a lot because your picture gets taken about 300 times a day.
That's right. More than that now, I guess.
You go to the bank, you go bank, grocery store, going to get gas. But technocracy is a tool for monitoring and governance. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see AI data centers and all, every little thing that you've done. And they openly said this in the Bank of International Settlements. They want to have this digital currency where they can monitor any of your expenditures from $100 on up. Mm-hmm. So they can determine by checking China if you have a bad social score, then you're not going to buy anything. So if you think about technology is going to be their weapon or tool to keep you in line. That's where I see it happening. And they're doing it through a lot of different angles. It looks kind of cool, but that's really the goal.
One of the things I began the program with today was talking about the fact that, I mention all the time about how artificial intelligence is really going to be a superpower for any kind of government tyranny, to be able to monitor you and everything that you're doing, as you're just talking about, but also to manipulate opinion as well. And that's why it's very concerning to me to see that this latest executive order from Trump that essentially presumes to prohibit any state laws that would curb things that are happening with AI companies. Because I think where that would really happen would be with the data centers. I think it's where the big conflict is going to come.
That's very true.
And, you know, that is the bottleneck for them. And that would be one of the ways that you could limit them to buy a little bit of time to try to get some control of the situation or structure to keep some of these things at bay. But, again, to prohibit that at the federal level, and that is in direct conflict with the 10th Amendment. And, of course, the Democrats will tell you that now because they're not in power. But as soon as they get in power, they don't care about the 10th Amendment either. But it is really a real concern about this concentration of power and the destruction of the 10th Amendment. And, of course, the enforcement mechanism that it's going to run through is going to be to use financial carrots and sticks for people coming out of the federal government. That's the way they always get around the 10th Amendment, isn't it?
Absolutely correct. Yes, the technocracy. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we call technocracy.
Yes.
The techno-bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. That's where they use that technology, as I call it, digital prison. That's basically what you're looking at.
Yes.
And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's what they're setting up, digital prison. So you can't go anywhere to do anything within your 15-minute city, whatever you want to be, to monitor where you are.
So
you lose all your freedoms.
They're constantly coming up with different justifications to take us to the same kind of Orwellian hell that they want to set up. And that's why, you know, when you look at the Chinese communists, many times I'd look at them and say, okay, so are they really communist anymore, or are they fascist? Because they've kind of merged economics and politics to a great extent there, and it's highly nationalistic and all the rest of these other things. So it's important to understand all these different strains, but then to not get boxed in by any of them, to understand these people mix and match. They'll take whatever they can use, maybe these different strategies, and, you know, when you look at them, if you were to construct a Venn diagram, it seems like they're all starting to reach convergence instead of one little point of overlap, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, communism is just a tool. It's a tool for global governance.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not the be-all, end-all, just like any other religious things that we see. It's got nothing to do with it at all. Matter of fact, the men who are globalists are not communists. They're not. That's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fascists, but they use that mentality. But it's all a tool for world government. It's all going to come through the United Nations. And you see the UN.
Mm-hmm.
That's the center point of it all. And we have a magazine called The New American.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, we're actually launching it in there called The New European. And I can show you this.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Map here. David, these little bubble diagrams, I don't know if you can see this all, these are all the UN offices in the world. They're not just one location in, you know, the East River in Brussels.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are these people doing in all these locations? Well, you're on the menu. That's what's going on. So you can imagine all those, you know, it's all over the United States. So I'd be happy to send this to you in a New America magazine. We have this one called The Global Power Grab. Mm-hmm. We did this one, and it talks, and I show this around the Australians and the New Zealands and the UK folks and the lady in France. They were totally amazed. The depth of the United Nations, all these offices all over the world.
Yes.
And they're busy carving up the world for global governance. So that's what our part of our job at the Birch Society, expose what's happening through education and make it aware. It's not too late, because it's more of us than them, and they know that. Our job, their job is to keep us off message and looking at sports figures or Hollywood or this or that. At the same time, they're destroying our foundation.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia, and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Principles of freedom.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've had Alex Newman on many times. I've talked to Alex, and a great guy there at the New American, and I've had other people as well from the New American. It's a great publication. And as you point out with that map, and you see all the different areas where they have areas of responsibility and actual physical locations and everything, I think that's a key thing for people to understand, is that it's not necessarily going to be, as you point out, in Brussels when you say, well, there's the seat of government or whatever, or the East River in New York. It really is not so much about that. It's about global governance. It's about this network of different organizations that are out there. And that's one of the things that I see about technocracy. It's really that, not just, you know, the electronic networking that's out there, but actually the political networking that is there. And the interlocking of these different financial interests that are out there. So they can all have their own goals and things, but it is all pushing us towards this global governance, and the technology is really giving them power that they've never had before. That's the key thing that's really concerning me. So
we saw that with COVID-19 was a good data set beta test for them, how you had the whole world under control. I'm sure they were absolutely laughing and amazed how easy it was to make that happen.
I know. I was absolutely astounded how easy it was for them as well. And again, I think, you know, we look at the stimulus checks and all the rest of this stuff. That was training wheels for universal basic income, which was something that Elon Musk has always been focused on. When you had Andrew Yang come out, said he was going to run for president, and that was going to be his issue, the main issue. He branched out into some other things later on. But as soon as he came out and said universal basic income, Elon Musk handed him $1 million. You know, he wanted him to push that idea. Well, it got pushed really big in 2020, didn't it?
Well, that's all part of the program, universal income through the UN. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
The whole job, they want you to be industrious. They want you to be collective, not individualists. Mm-hmm. And we fight collectivism. Mm-hmm. We believe in individualism, not collectivism. That's all part of the rule, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a called the herd mentality. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they need to control us. It's all of, that's the end game. mm-hmm. is that world government. And they will determine, as I mentioned early on, we started in the show, George Bernard Shaw, before the Eugenics Committee, who lives and who dies. Mm-hmm. And you may not have that choice. Mm-hmm. If you're a strong Christian or belief, you may not fit into, because they're amoral, they don't have any beliefs, the state is their belief, you may not fit into their program. If you can't be indoctrinated correctly, mm-hmm. you may be exterminated.
That's right.
And that's, they're written about that. So it's, these guys play for keeps, and it's serious, and our job has been to expose their plan since the late 50s on really what they want to do. And they're very open about it, now more so than ever, because they feel like men, young adults have been so indoctrinated through the universities and school that socialism is good, like we saw the last mayor race in New York City. I mean, can mm-hmm. you imagine? It's, nothing's free. You know?
The schools have indoctrinated that. But then we also have the situation where the the Gen Z people are finding it very, the kids are finding it very difficult to find a job. Even if they go to college, they're finding it difficult to find a job. And that mm-hmm. is something I think that really drives this. Because, again, one of the things that socialism has always pushed out there, I think, is envy. You know, they find these different, at its core, I think, Saul Alinsky, you know, dedicated his book Rules for Radicals to Satan. And yeah. I think at the core of it, there's all these different satanic appeals to the evil aspects of our nature, you know, whether it's about greed, whether it's about envy, whether it's about hatred, racism, tribalism, all these different things. And they identify these things and seek to exploit them with these different approaches that they take, you know. And so that's what I think is you have to be aware of the tactics and the strategies that are there if we're ever going to be able to defeat them. Otherwise, we're just putty in their hands, aren't we?
That's exactly right. And you're exactly correct. That's exactly what they do. They pit one group against another, one philosophy, because mm-hmm. it's all about conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
mm-hmm.
It's all about the conflict. That's critically important. But we have to identify what it is and expose what it is. That's really important. So we know the game. It's a charades. You remember, the movie where we had with Julie Garland, Follow Yellow Brick Road, you know, and all of a sudden, who's mm-hmm. that man behind the curtain? Don't pay attention to him. Mm-hmm. Well, we expose who's behind the curtain, you know, and that's really what it's all about. It's really a plan. It's not done by accident. And we see a lot of kabuki theater.
Yes.
But the thing is that we identify really what it is. And to tell you what, it's very difficult for people to believe it because some of their heroes of the past were not good people.
That's right.
And I'm sorry, folks.
Or the heroes of the present.
Or the present.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I mentioned about George Bernard Shaw. The guy was, you know, think about that one. Well, I mean, I can go on, but there's a lot of them. And they were not who they thought they were. I mean,
that's
it's...
Right. Yeah, he wrote Pygmalion, which was then turned into My Fair Lady, you know, the musical and the play. And so, you know, we enjoy the music with that. But, the guy who was there. And even when you look at all these different science fiction novels, they've basically become a blueprint for them. But when you're talking about how they like to set up conflict between different groups, that's why I think we really need to have our guard up about partisan politics, because that is another way they do it. They don't just do it by race or by sex or this or that. They do it also with political factions. And, you know, when people buy into these things and start to excuse the actions of their leaders, what they really need to do is to look at the longer historical view and say, where were the Fabian socialists trying to take us? You know, where were the Gramsci socialists trying to take us? Where were the Marxists trying to take us? And if the actions of the person that's the hero of your party is going to move us in the direction of these socialists and Marxists, then you need to pull back and say, we're not going to follow that, even though that's part of our tribe here or whatever. I think that's a very important thing. You know,
right. Elections change governments, but institutions, you know, change nations. That's really important. They actually, Fabian's even said that. They also said power shifts from representation to management. And that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, you know, it's left or right, you know, on the politics scene, the policy being set forward doesn't make a difference who runs back and forth. It's all kabuki theater for us because they're not setting the policy, someone else is. And we identify who they are. That's really critically important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a big game in front of us, but we have to identify really who they are and what's happening. And that's all part of what we do, educate people and make them aware. There's more of us than them. Mm-hmm. But our job is to wake people up. And sometimes they don't want to, they want to hear about it, you know. Yeah. Our job is to wake people up and tell them really what's going on. Much like the story I gave to the UK folks about the Fabians.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, they're destroying your country on plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not by accident. It's not
and
by
that's
accident.
Why, you know, I question, you know, so do they still have a Fabian society that people belong to? Because typically these things are done in secret. You know, or quietly. So you have secret societies, you know, things like the Masons or whatever, but, you know, people will be members of this, but I don't think, do we have a Fabian society that you have politicians that are part of here in the U.S., or is it mainly the CFR that you'll see?
Mostly the CFR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly. What's it, you know, it's a partner of with the Fabians. So uh-huh. Back to Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner and, you know, Woodrow Wilson took Commander House. They had this thing called the Inquiry back in the 1900s or so, and they formed this group, and they want the United States, and the Council of Foreign Relations was born in 1921, and they're going to set foreign policy up, marked through David Rockefeller, and today you have members of the cabinet, 40-50% of the people in presidential cabinets were part of the CFR. You had Clinton, Eisenhower, all those guys were all involved in the CFR. They knew exactly what was going on, so they were carrying the water for the CFR policy group. And that's exactly what goes on. So it looked good, mm-hmm. You know, but reality is, one of the stories goes this way.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options. No doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You know, every year, several years, we have an election. It's mm-hmm. like when you're in high school, you know, remember the president of the student council? Remember those back in high school?
Mm-hmm. And, beauty contest, you know, yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, and by the way, I'm going to have longer lunch hours. We're going to have less homework, right? And all of a sudden, they get elected, and they're like, who's running the show? The superintendent, the principal of high school. It never happened. And that's the story with the CFR. We have a beauty contest, which is a public, you know, either presidential election or congressional. And then who's running the show behind the scenes? It's really those groups, those mm-hmm. unelected bureaucratic officials or unelected. And we expose what they are. We have that book called The Shadows of Power. Another mm-hmm. book that we published years ago called The Shadows of Power exposes the Council on Foreign Relations, World War I, World War II, Korean, Vietnam, how they all morphed into all part of the plan. That's called The Shadows of Power. So now so the Fabians is Freeway is about the Fabians. The Shadows of Power is about the Council on Foreign Relations. And once people look at history, they get pretty angry because they know it's all been a theater for not for us, but for them.
Yeah.
And they play the game to make it look like you're running the show, but you're not. You're just a victim of the globalist plan.
I agree. And when I think of the John Birch Society, you guys have done a great job of educating people about the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR stuff. And yet we still have these people run for office, and I think you'll see them proudly list that as part of their CV, you know, that, I'm a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And it surprises me. It's like I'm part of this satanic group over here. But it's, they see it as a, because it really does have a lot of panache or whatever or clout in Washington to be a member of that club, and they're proud of it. And so we need to call them out on it. We need to understand the history of it. We need to understand really just how evil the actions have been and how that has really been there. So I guess in the UK, they still have people who are part of the Fabian Society. But here you'll see it in the CFR, and they'll be doing the same type of thing.
Yeah, Bill Clinton was a member. Madeleine Albright was a member. Robert Rubin was a member. Ben Cohen, Larry Summers, George W. Bush was, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Robert Gates, Henry Paulson, Barack Obama was president, described a candidate, Timmy Gaithard, Susan Rice, John Bolton, Henry McMaster, and Mike Pompeo, I do go on. You see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. So they're there in strategic locations to monitor and steer public policy. That's what it's going on. So when you see this, we hear the song, regardless if it's Democrat, Republican, you get to the same place all the time.
That's right.
That's the key.
And I remember when Reagan got elected, people were excited. Oh, look, he's not CFR, And I can't remember the last time we had a president that wasn't CFR. And yet what he did was he put CFR people in all the different positions around him,
Yes, exactly. Well, Trump is not a member of the CFR, I can tell you that, so he's not a member. So. Mm-hmm. But he's got people around to make sure he doesn't get too far off the script, although he does.
That's right. I think with Trump, it's really, as much as anything, it's the technocracy, because these guys are writing the checks there. I'm very concerned that, we all know now what the CBDC is, and yet I think the same thing can be accomplished with a stable coin, and they can make a lot of money putting the stable coin out there at the same time. So it's one way they can get rich. They can get rich off of that, or they can't get rich off of the CBDC. And since everybody's kind of wise to the game of the CBDC, they don't realize that stable coin is still going to have those capabilities to be able to turn off your ability to trade and do other things like that. Tell us a little bit about the John Birch Society. I mean, I know you guys have had a lot of fights and that type of thing. Have you been hit with any kind of debanking or stuff like that? Because, I have. And I've been kicked off of PayPal and Venmo and other formats like that because of things that I was saying in 2020 about the lockdown and the pandemic and the vaccine and climate change and all the rest of this stuff. Are you seeing that kind of debanking and deplatforming in various places?
Yeah, well, sometimes we say that we get too much of truth. YouTube will take us down for a while or something like that, and then we'll come back on again. We don't have that issue with banking per se, but they ignore us because they don't need attention. When we get attacked, we start to grow. So they try to pretend we don't exist any longer.
Yeah, that's when I first learned of the John Birch Society was when William F. Buckley was on a tear.
Oh, yeah.
To come after you guys. Yeah. It's like, well, I think I agree with these guys and not with Buckley. So
he's a CFR member, by the way.
Dude. Yeah.
about it.
Yeah. Probably CIA as well. So
Skull and Bones, from Yale. I can go on. He was a good guy, right? Yeah, sure. His organization exists today. Don't listen to those guys over there. Okay.
Yeah, that's why he was a good guy. That's why NPR had him on. That's why.
Yeah, right. We wrote a book about that called The Pied Piper of the Establishment. We wrote that book, Jack McMaster, a past president. You may have known him. He wrote the book about Buckley, and he was, he was all put together to make sure that he steers the conservative movement the direction of the CFR, in which he was a member of the CFR.
Yeah.
So, it's like, as I said, it's not a matter who, it's all controlled, And he was controlled opposition.
He's a very poster child for that, isn't he? Controlled opposition.
Absolutely correct. And people still hold him up as he was some, super conservative. He was not.
Yeah. I remember, Rush Limbaugh really idolized him. It's like, man, you don't realize who this guy is. That's kind of telling. But it really is a great organization, and really do appreciate what you guys do. And again, the Quiet Ideology Reshaping Policy, from London Parlors to DC Power. Is that a book or is that an article? Because that's how I found out about
that
you.
Sounds like it sounds like the Fabian Freeway. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, that's the subtitle of Fabian Freeway.
Playing over, yeah. Okay, but, the JBS has been around for a long time. We have area chapters. Mm-hmm. We educate people on the voting record of their representatives. And so we try to encourage people to be active participants in the process. How do you change your representative, David, is if you don't understand the Constitution, or at least go visit them and say, why did you vote unconstitutionally? So we have this thing called the scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
We print it out every quarter, mm-hmm. and it talks about the voting record. Constitutionally, we pick them on Congress, Senate, as well as the House, where they are. So people know if they're voting constitutionally or not. And it's our personal responsibility as Americans mm-hmm. to uphold. Remember, their representatives work for us. And say, hey, why are you voting this way? And would they have not? I mean, representative called me and said, no one ever, very rarely calls me on the phone and talks about anything.
Yeah.
And so we can't sit back. And I said, and one day we have a handsome young conservative show up in Congress. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
My biggest goal is fight complacency mm-hmm. in Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's life is too good.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the economics today is hurting them, now they're listening, but life is too good and they have to, you know, we have to get behind and spend a little time protecting our sovereignty and our freedoms, but we have to know who we are first. And that's what we try to teach, Americanist principles,
mm-hmm.
and hold up representatives who work for us to make sure that happens.
I agree. And that's what I liked about the John Birch Society was the focus on local activism as well, and you know, knowing what is happening locally in your state as well. And I've seen what you're talking about in terms of representatives who say nobody ever calls me. I saw the power of that, and I've talked about this on the program. When I lived in North Carolina, I was involved with homeschooling, and at that point in time, all of North Carolina's government was Democrat. Democrat House and Senate, as well as the governor and all the rest of the stuff. So the teachers unions decided that they were going to shut down homeschooling, and it looked like they were going to be able to do it because it was all Democrats. And an active minority of homeschoolers, which was really small at the time, there wasn't a lot of people homeschooling, there's so many more who are doing it today, but everybody got actively involved and started writing, and it made them look so much bigger than they actually were. And actually beat down the teachers' unions in a Democrat state that were going to try to regulate homeschooling out of existence. And so that was a very important firsthand lesson to learn. But it's difficult to get people to do that. And that's one of the things that John Birch Society does, I think, is excellent, which is to educate each other about what is happening locally within your state and how you can take action at a local level. I remember my earliest memory of the John Birch Society was the Support Your Local Sheriff stuff, being concerned about the federalization and of the police. And that is something that is now really escalating, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually have that group. It still exists called Support Your Local Police. We mm-hmm. want to keep them independent, not federalized. We have a group. We have an affiliate, not-for-profit, mm-hmm. called Support Your Local Police. And we also have you mentioned school. With the homeschool, we've been in existence for 15 years, called the Freedom Project Academy. It goes from kindergarten to high school. Mm-hmm. We have live, education, of course, online,
mm-hmm.
or you can buy a recorded version of it. And that's been around. So we're educating all over the world. Adults are having their children sign up to learn really Americanism,
and
who we are, not fabricated history. And we teach kids how to write cursive and do math or read books. How about that for a change? And so it hasn't happened in a public school, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And we spent more time in education than social, emotional learning. But the thing is, and you mentioned Alice Newman, wrote a lot of books about that. But the thing is that, so we look at education with our children,
mm-hmm.
our adults,
mm-hmm.
bring into view really who we are, what we're all about, because we've been indoctrinated.
Yes.
And we know that brainwashing has existed through all the mass media, David.
Mm-hmm.
All the mass media, as you know very well because you're in the media business, that's all controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations. Every one of those, New York Times, all the networks, including Fox News, it's all controlled media. And they all say the same thing, same deal. So guess what? If that's the only thing you hear, that's the only thing you believe.
That's
so
right.
We said, no, time out. Let's talk about reality here. And it's hard for some people to swallow, but once you've been red-pilled, mm-hmm. all of a sudden the world changes. Like, now I see what's going on here. So mm-hmm. That's our job in the Birch Society. We deal with kids with school. You're right about the law enforcement. We want to keep them independent. We teach the Constitution. We get people involved. It's about education and get people activated and involved. That's really important.
I absolutely agree.
Get activated and involved. And that's how we save our country, as well as the people over in England. They see the problem now because they're watching their country be destroyed. And I mentioned the Fabians when we first came on because that's coming attractions for the United States. Mm-hmm. What you see in Europe is coming attractions for here.
Oh, yeah. Just so it's delayed like just a little bit. Yeah.
It's a warning. It's
that's a warning. Right. Yeah, and so, you know, getting back to the federalization of the police, you know, we look at these things and we say, okay, even if you like the guy who's doing it, and even if you agree with the stated goal, you have to look at this and say, yeah, but that policy is going to establish a precedent of the federalization of law enforcement. And so I know where that leads, right? So we pull this back and we say, okay, so let's walk this back, and we have to oppose this, even if we agree with the stated purpose, that's the wrong way to do it. And it is so important that we not sacrifice the means does not is not just that the end does not justify the means. That's how these people always get us there. And it's mm-hmm. understanding those principles and what America is about, understanding the Constitution and what that's about and why those things are there. Those important mm-hmm. safeguards against tyranny, and understand that if we wipe those things away because it's going to make it more expedient for us to achieve this particular policy goal, we are going to pay the price in the long run, aren't we?
A nationalized police force is one of Karl Marx's plan, and so that's what we're trying to avoid, keep them local and independent. That's your right. sheriff is a very important person in your county, very important person, and I encourage people to know who the sheriff is mm-hmm. and talk to them and making sure that you understand and they understand about America's principles and our rights. Mm-hmm. And you have to know who the sheriff is mm-hmm. so they know who you are. Mm-hmm. Much like a legislators and state legislator. You know, go back to our basics of our country. Our United States were formed as independent states, mm-hmm. sovereign states. Mm-hmm. And over a period of time, David, the states have given power from themselves to the federal government. That's not the way it was supposed to operate.
Yeah.
The government was supposed to defend us against public and domestic enemies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's very limited powers. Look at Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Very limited powers Congress has, right?
Mm-hmm.
And government. And so we have actually given more power to the federal government, why it's all upside down and distorted today. So we spend time with our local legislators in each state to make sure they uphold the constitutional responsibility. Each state has a constitution. The word democracy does not exist. It's always a republic. That's a whole other thing we teach people. That word does not appear in our constitution mm-hmm. or any state constitution. And people don't even know that.
Yeah.
And I said, you have to understand states are sovereign. Make sure you make, this is where it begins. So if you look at our history, it was done with that phenomenal idea to keep them sovereign, independent states. So those basic things I just said to you, most Americans I talk to do not understand that.
Yeah,
they don't understand at all.
That's right. They absolutely do not, and it's so important that we understand foundational principles and why these things were set up the way they were. Actually, is a good plan. You know, even though the Constitution has been completely violated, it's still a good plan, and we should try it someday in our lifetime. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Ten Commandments. It's not the Ten Suggestions. You know.
That's right. That's right. And they all
the Constitution. You have to know it before you can uphold it. You know.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, pretty much, whether they're local or state, or especially federal, they take an oath to the Constitution as a requirement of their authority. And so when they violate that, they no longer have any legitimate authority, but they do have a lot of power. And so we need to understand that we can have power collectively, and that's one of the things I think the John Birch Society does bring to the table.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fascinating discussion, Mr. Morrow.
Wayne Morrow. The opportunity.
Thank you. Wayne Morrow, the CEO of the John Birch Society. Always great talking to you guys. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with cars here in just a second. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show. Listening to the David Knight Show.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere, from country to blues, classic hits to news. APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
Welcome back, folks. We got a lot of comments. And Jersey Boy, thank you so much for the support. He says, can you please ask if he was ever heard of William Cooper, who wrote Behold a Pale Horse.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that comment in time. I'm sorry.
And does he know about Jimmy from Brooklyn, who JBS interviewed, who I'm trying to get on your show?
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. I'm very sorry.
Yes, apologies. Mm-hmm. Owen61, thank you so much for the support. He just says, thank you.
Well, thank you, Owen. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. And Jersey Boy again says, I remember a few years ago from JBS an email, History of Republicans, it was started by a communist. Does he know what it was? And what does he think of JFK?
You know, it's interesting. A book I really enjoyed was an alternative history book by Harry Turtledove. He's written a lot of alternative history books, and this one was about the Civil War. It's called How Few Remain. And in it, you know, you may know the history that Antietam, as bloody as the battle was, nearly was, could have been a victory for the South, except that one of the couriers dropped the orders that he was carrying, and they fell into the Union's hands. And so in his book, guys say, hey, you dropped those orders. Better pick those up. Can you imagine what would happen if the other guys got that right? And so that causes an early end to the war. And pretty much all the major figures of both North and South survive. And causes an early end of the war and the South to gain its independence. And in his alternative history, Lincoln is entirely discredited because he lost the war. But then he makes a comeback as this book is picking up a couple of decades on. At that point in time, I think he's got Stonewall Jackson as the president of the Confederacy. And Lincoln makes a political comeback as head of the Socialist Party. And that's one of the things that made that book so interesting, was he really did understand these people, what motivated them, and the things behind them. And so, yeah, there was an early connection with that. And if you look at, always think about the Pledge of Allegiance that was put in by the Grand Army of the Republic, most of the veterans, especially if they were well-known or successful, played an important part in the war, they got very big positions in the subsequent governments that were there. And the Grand Army of the Republic, which was the organization of Civil War veterans for the North, had a tremendous amount of influence. They were the ones who instituted the Pledge of Allegiance, and it initially did not have "under God" in it until the mid-1950s. And so the emphasis was on one nation, indivisible, and that, you know, very harsh with that. And the pledge was done with one arm extended out, palm down, just like the Nazi salute. They changed it to "hand over your heart" because of the Nazi salute. But yeah, socialism and a lot of other things were there, and the as well as the concentration of power, really talking about the destruction of the states as sovereign entities, and the understanding that the states had created the federal government. All that stuff disappeared with the Civil War. Go ahead.
We have username 01234567 89. AI will be kosher and DEI. Nibiru 2029 says, "We have the best government money can buy," and that's a quote from Mark Twain. And they spend more and more every single day. Pezzonovante 1776, "Ask the guest his take on war, Gaza, Trump's anti-Semitism, czar, and the Heritage Foundation's Project Esther."
I apologize, I didn't see that. Yes.
The conversation was too good. Gar Goldsmith says, "Curiously, people often claim Marx was focused solely on economics, but his entire worldview was cultural, based on envy and hate."
Yeah. Conflict, yeah. The Hegelian dialectic. That's why, you know, we have to look at the different ways that they divide us. You know, it was very explicit what Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn, the weathermen, wanted to do. They wanted to have a race war. Marx focused, the thing about economics was there, but that was really a class struggle, right? And the economics was a part of that class struggle. And but it's always about dividing us. And that's why I said, you know, we have to be very careful about the Republican versus Democrat thing. Any kind of division that they can use like that. And when we attach ourselves to a different ethnic group or a different political group, these different types of things, those attachments draw us away from the principles that can be the bulwark against this kind of socialist hell that they want to put us in. Yeah.
And Mama C, 1996, says, "I never learned so much as when I was homeschooling my kids."
That's right. That's right. That's excellent. And that was the thing that I really missed about it. That was where I put all of my effort before I had the show. As a matter of fact, that was, at one point, it was kind of bothering me because I was filling in for Alex at the very beginning. He said, "You know, there's going to be millions of people listening to you." I said, "Don't tell me that. I need to hear that right now." Because I was not very much into public speaking or anything like that. And I said, "No, the way I think of this," and that was in his original studio, which was really small and intimate, I said, the way I think of this is I'm talking to the guys over there running the board. I could see them, and I said, I'm just thinking like I'm doing homeschooling with my kids. So I said, don't talk to me about millions of people listening to that. That'll freeze me up. So that's the way I always looked at it. And it was such a wonderful thing because it gave us an opportunity to go back and look at content that was compelled on us in the schools and to view it in a different way. And that's one of the things I've always said about biology and evolution. You know, when it's taught to us in the schools, it was always dumbed down into skeletons and death, right? For the evolutionist, death is the thing, the engine of creation. For us, it is the giver of life. And we didn't look at comparative anatomy of skeletons. We looked at the unique design of each and every animal. And that was the thing that was so fascinating. So it really is a blessing and an opportunity. I hope if you have the opportunity, you take that to homeschool your kids. Have a good day. Thank you.
If you even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even. It's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure.
Yeah, like yeah. And
now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of the David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.